Friends, in Jesus' grace and mercy and peace be to you, in God our Father, in our Lord Jesus Christ. Consider with me again the words of our Lord from the Gospel of St. Luke, where Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, or what you will put on. Your life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds?" This is God's word. Please be seated. So, what's got you worried today? What's got you worried? That's a big question. And I suppose the list could be endless and it would be different for each one of us. Some of us maybe are worried about our safety now, even in the rural neighborhoods after the abduction and the murder of Sierra Joggin. That put the worry in a lot of young ladies and in their parents. Some people are worried about their financial future. You know, big student loans and not much income. The cost of raising a family. Not enough savings for the next big car repair, much less for retirement. Farmers worry about their crops and the lack of rain and the low prices and the big repair bills for their equipment. According to surveys, among the top 20 things that people worry about are these: their diet, the health of their pets, raising good children, whether or not my spouse still loves me, physique, whether I'm going to make the rent or the mortgage this month, whether or not I'm attractive. We worry about getting old in general. And then as if that's not enough to worry about, ISIS attacks are in the news weekly and sometimes almost daily. And we worry about the direction of our country, especially in a presidential election year. One candidate is regarded by most people in surveys as dishonest, and the other candidate is regarded by many people as completely unfit for office altogether. So no matter which side you're on, you've got something to worry about. And even in church, we've been worrying about religious liberties, when a state tries, like California, tries to force Christian schools like our Concordia out there to bow before the LGBT agenda on bathrooms and locker rooms and the redefinition of marriage. Or when the state uses non-discrimination laws to punish Christian business owners who make business decisions based on their Christian convictions. There's a lot to worry about. I suppose on the positive side, if it weren't for worry, there would never be any opportunities in the stock markets. But otherwise, worry is a corrosive force in our lives by which we borrow tomorrow's troubles to spoil today's blessings. Jesus says, stop it. Stop being so anxious about everything and about your life. And of course, Jesus isn't the first one to ever give us advice like this. Do a Google search for quotes and sayings on the subject of worry, and you will find them by the thousands. Among them, I found one by Charles Schulz, the Peanuts comic strip guy. He said, "Don't worry about the world coming to an end today. It's already tomorrow in Australia." And so a lot of people tell us this. And in our minds, we know it. We know that it's useless to worry. As Jesus says, which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Worrying about ISIS or about the election or about global warming or race relations or immigration issues, that's not going to make your life any better or add anything to your life. Well, we know that. And it would be very easy for me then to moralize and to stand up here and to tell you, well, if you know it, then stop it. Get a grip on this problem and do what Jesus wants you to do. That would be the moralizing approach to this passage. But what I want to say to you this morning is that anyone who would moralize about the problem of worry has not yet fully understood the depth of this problem. You see, the bigger the wound, the bigger the treatment that is needed to take care of it. If I scrape my knee, maybe all I need is some Bactine. If I get a pretty good cut on my finger, well, maybe a Band-Aid will be all that I need for it to cure. But if I slice open a major artery, now I need a tourniquet and some sutures and some surgery. Now things are getting a little more serious. And if I'm in an accident and I'm decapitated, now I'm dead. So is worry just a scrape on our souls, or is it fatal? Moralizing preachers will treat this thing, this worry, as if it's a small thing, as if it's maybe a scrape or a cut, and therefore they will prescribe a small cure. Well, just follow some biblical principles. Go to a therapy session. Get yourself a self-help book and you should be fine. Put the lime into coconut and call me in the morning. But it isn't fine. Despite trying all these small cures, we just can't stop worrying. Because worry, you see, is not just a minor scrape on our souls that we can fix with some lime and coconut or some self-help books or some biblical principles. Worry is not a little cut that requires a Band-Aid. Worry is fatal. It is a sign of our deadness in sin. Worry at its root is a rejection of God's promises to you. Worry is therefore a sin against God and against the first commandment that tells us that we should trust in God above all things. Worry says to God that He is not sufficient to the task of dealing with whatever is going on in my life. And that is a slap in His face. Like the Facebook post that I saw said, worry is assuming that God doesn't know what He's doing. So because God doesn't know what He's doing, now I have to take it up in my own mind, and I have to think of solutions as if I can handle this better than God can handle it. To worry is effectively to lift yourself up as God. As a matter of fact, in the classical Greek, the word for worry literally means to lift yourself up. Worry is fundamentally a lack of faith in the one who told you that your times are in His hands. And that's why Jesus says to us, "O you of little faith." So what I'm saying to you today is that worry needs a much bigger cure than some moralizing preacher who gets up and tells you, "Get a grip on it, follow some principles, be more like Jesus." How big is this problem? It is so big, such a deadly sin, that Christ had to die for it. Nothing less could be the cure for our worries. Jesus treats worry for what it really is, not a scrape or a cut that needs a Band-Aid. It's a sin that kills us, and for which He therefore had to pay the penalty and die, that we might be forgiven and raised up to a newness of life. A newness of life in which we confront our worries not with therapy or biblical and moral principles, but with the promises of God, which we know are always yes to us in Jesus Christ. You see, what these moralizing preachers forget is that these words of Jesus about worry are bracketed in Luke's gospel between promises about the end of time, that those who acknowledge Jesus before men, He will acknowledge them before His Father in heaven, and that He will come again at an hour when no one expects. These promises put the words of Jesus about worry in their proper context and light. He is not telling us to stop worrying like some moralizing preacher. He says we can stop worrying because, after all, he who entered this world to redeem us from our sins is coming back to take us to be with him. Here is the reason that there is no reason to worry. It's in verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's why there's no reason to worry. The Father is pleased to give you his kingdom by the cross and the rising of Jesus. And that kingdom is yours even when you worry, because he is so gracious and merciful and abounding in love in Christ to forgive it. And now there really is nothing to worry about. He has chosen us to belong to him, and nothing is going to harm us. Not even those terrible things that we worry about, even if the worst of our worries are realized. Even those things must work for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So why would you worry? So does this mean we're all going to go away from here today and never worry again? I wish it were that easy. I wish I could stand up before you here today and say, great Christian that I am, I don't worry. It's not true. I do. And I hate that about myself, because it slaps God in the face. It says to him, I don't trust you. There was an owner of a small accounting firm who was hiring. And in the interview with a prospective employee, he said, I'm looking for someone to hire to do my worrying for me. And the man who was being interviewed said, excuse me? And the owner said, well, I worry about a lot of things, but I don't want to have to worry about money anymore. So I want to hire you to take all of my money worries off my back. And the employee said, well, I see. Okay then, well, how much does this job pay? And the owner said, well, I'll start you at $120,000. $120,000, the man exclaimed. How can such a small business afford to pay me a salary like that? And the owner said, that is your worry. I wish I could just dump all my worries like that and be rid of them so easily. But we have Christ. And in Christ we have at least one less thing to worry about. We don't have to worry that our failures to fix ourselves and to stop our worrying are going to disqualify us from the kingdom of God. That's the danger of moralistic preaching. It only makes people despair when they can't be as moral as the preacher and his principles say they should be. But we are at peace. First, because we understand the depth of our problem and that it is beyond our ability to fix it. But most of all, we are at peace because we know the one who is big enough to cure us by his dying mercy. And we know to go to him and to give him our worries and to confess it and to be forgiven and renewed. Make no mistake, worry is a sin, deadly sin. And like all sin, the only cure is the forgiveness that Christ purchased for us at his cross. And he is the one who is going to come again and give us his kingdom so that we never will ever have to worry again. Until that day, worry and anxiety is going to try to slither its way back into your hearts and your souls. But when they do, we now have a champion on our side, who already won the battle against worry by laying down his life to forgive it. And now when the devil strikes and he stirs up worry and anxiety in us, we now say to him, get behind me, Satan. I cast my cares on the Lord who cares for me. My times are in His hands. The one who feeds the crows and who clothes the grass of the field has loved me with an eternal and a dying love, and I rest myself in His grace. May God strengthen us all in our times of worry to pray thus and to stop worrying. In the blessed name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ until life everlasting. Amen.